apparently people are snobby about television background noise, so once again, with feelings, welcome one and all once again to Duos in episode 120. We actually have nobody at PAX, so it's gonna, and PAX is actually still going on. I didn't know PAX was on a Monday too, or am
I think that's new this year. It's longer than it used to be.
Yeah, they're now 4 days long.
We have a former dual wielding panelist, Michael Gleboff, there, but I don't think he's going to come report to us.
And I mean, it doesn't seem like there's much news, or, I mean, there's new, I mean, there's not even new games there. It's just kind of stuff that's been at E3 and Gamescom and your old game, I assume, in a month or so.
Yeah.
It makes sense. We are nearing the holiday season, so everybody just wants to get their games out there into as many hands as possible. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, not much on PAX. There hasn't actually been much major news from PAX, except for the Kickstarter we're going to talk about in a bit, which I think was announced at PAX.
Yeah,
but
during the panel they had.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it was a random time. I mean, we might as well kick it off with this. Mighty Number 9, which in no shape or form is like a Mega Man game at all.
Not at all.
was announced by the creator of Mega Man. I always bring it up because it was announced at in the middle of the night on a Saturday. I think it was like 9 or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, middle of the night for us, I assume Martin and his folks should be well asleep.
I just wake up today and saw on Twitter someone talking about a Kickstarter game from Inafune, and I clicked the link. And then I saw, oh wow, he's making a new Mega Man.
Not Mega Man, Mighty Number 9.
Yeah.
About a blue Man. Robot with a human, what is it, human personality or something?
It's a robot who can transform his enemy's powers to be used in combat. Very different than Mega Man.
And he's blue.
And he has a sidekick called Call, who looks like... I'm not Ro. What is it?
Yeah, Ro.
Oh, yeah, Ro. I'm thinking of the dog versus Ro. The dog, I think, is the most on-nose thing that they have, because the dog looks exactly like Rush from the Mega Man games.
Also, the naming conventions. I mean, the new character's called Beck.
I actually like that one. It's Beck and Call.
Beck and Call, yeah.
it's almost like, what, is it Rockman and Bass? Bass?
Yeah.
There's a cut man who has, I guess he would be scissors man, because he has like a pair of scissors going out of his head instead of pointing upwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have, right now there's six bosses that you fight and you acquire their powers. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's also made by a lot of people who worked with Capcom on the Mega Man franchise over the years.
Yeah, we should maybe explain a bit more. It seems like this game is kind of a frustration project, I guess?
But
for Inafune? I mean, it sounded like he was very upset that Mega Man Legends 3 didn't happen, and now he's no longer on Capcom, and Capcom doesn't seem to do anything with Mega Man. So, it looks like he and a bunch of other Mega Man veterans basically came together to create this new game, Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, I'm sure Martin, I don't know if Jason has, but the video is kind of really touching.
Yeah.
He seems really heartbroken, especially the scene in the arcade when he explains why he left Capcom, after being there for so many decades, and how, this is his chance to do his passion project. I mean, granted, I also thought it was kind of funny how he's talking about how he wanted to do something original when he's basically just making a new Mega Man game.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's really what people want, so I can blame him. I'm happy that I'm getting basically a new Mega Man.
Yeah, and
it's not called Mega Man.
Yeah, and a lot of people are, as you can tell by the fact that this thing has almost, as of this recording, it is at $572,000, and it's been up for about 16 hours, give or take.
Of the 900,000 they need to be funded. And I would expect, actually, by the time you actually hear this, it might actually be already funded.
Now, to be fair, this is funding for the PC version.
Yep.
For the console versions, the Wii U, the PS3, and the 360 version, that's going to take $2.5 million, But at the pace this is going, even if we were to assume a rapid slowdown and he didn't get $500,000 a day, it seems like it would have no problem crossing that barrier.
Yeah, it seems very likely that it's going to work out for their last stretch goal, which is the console versions. But there is also other stuff like new stages, Mac and Linux version. What I'm mostly intrigued about are the question mark stretch goals, which are not yet defined.
Yeah, but I mean, what do you expect from that? All right,
I don't know. Maybe handheld versions.
And that's what people were saying, and I could see that, but it's interesting. People are also kind of upset because right now I think the game is scheduled for spring of 2015.
Yeah.
And based on the consoles, I mean, at that point, the 360 and the PS3 should be in the twilight.
Yeah. The thing is, I actually don't expect it to come to PS3, 360, and Wii U. I mean, Wii U, probably, but I don't think PS3 and 360 will be the case. I'm pretty sure
it
was on
spring 2015.
April, to be exact.
Obviously the focus by then will be kind of moved on amongst the hardcore, but there will still be plenty of 360s, PS3s out there. And
there will be
like
more.
Martin was alluding to, I'm sure it'll end up on Xbox One, PS4 as well.
But I think right now they're probably looking at the fact that combined is what, 160 million units?
Yeah.
Even with best optimistic cases, I mean, I would see the PS4 and the Xbox One combined in a year and a half would probably be no more than 30 million. And that's really being optimistic.
Yeah, but on the other hand,
and it's hard to crowdfund a game for consoles that nobody has, you know.
Well, I mean, do that. I think the other thing would be like they probably don't know how much it would cost them to make it. Like you can have an idea of how much a game costs to port on 360 to PS3 because those systems have been out for years.
That's exactly what I mean. I mean, they probably not even sure how much it would cost them to port it to these new consoles. They probably don't even have dev kits of these new consoles.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, there's always the chance that Sony and Microsoft will be like, okay, this looks like an interesting game. I mean, no, they both have kind of indie initiative going, and those people are looking at Kickstarters like this and might be going like, okay, let's give them a free dev kit or something like that and to have this game on our system as well.
Yeah. I mean,
Sony hasn't done that before. There are a couple of games where that happened.
Yeah, granted, again, you know, this is just a minor thing, but it goes back to the fact that it would have helped if these systems were backwards compatible.
Yes.
Then you wouldn't have to, because, you know, like, doing, like, it's not like you can do a PS3 version and then have played on the PS4 and vice versa. So they're going to have to do, if they're going to do it, it's four different versions of these consoles.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I assume it's just going to be an upport, but still, you know, it's a lot of extra work for a small team to work with five consoles if that comes across. And if you want to maximize it, granted, you can say the Wii U is not that hot. And who knows, that might drop off. Well, I guess technically you can't drop it off if you're
If they commit to it in the stretch goal, they would have to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't really go back to the Wii because, as you know, it's just not that powerful anymore. Well, it was never that powerful to begin with, but you can't go back. So it's and I think Mega Man games do well. I believe Mega Man 9 and 10 did best on the Wii U. I mean, the Wii eShop or whatever it was called at the time. I know 9 did because 9 was originally built as an exclusive up until like the month before it came out. I don't remember 10, but yeah. Point is, it seems to be doing extremely well. I mean, last night I think somebody estimated it was doing $1,000 per minute. Even as we speak, it has gone up $2,000.
Yeah.
So
people are hungry.
That was
me. People are really hungry for a new Mega Man.
Yeah. It's I don't want to bring this up, but I do feel sad because in less than a day, this has already outstripped both Shadows of the Eternal Kickstarter fund.
Yeah, I knew that was coming up.
I don't think that's weird at all, to be honest.
it's not weird. It's just kind of funny and sad.
You know what I'm thinking the whole day after seeing how successful this seems to be is, what are the people of Capcom thinking right now?
That's what I wanted. That's what I'm curious about as well, because, like, and this, you know, I'm not saying Capcom should start a Kickstarter, but the fact that Capcom has been on this, oh, you know, Mega Man, we just don't know what to do with Mega Man. Mega Man's not that popular. Yeah. And you have this Mega Man knockoff, not even the official deal. And money aside, it's already got 10,000 people supporting it in less than a day.
Yep.
People who don't even know if it's coming to their console of choice.
And this is for a company that's, you know, clawing for something to stick right now. I mean, they just dropped Lost Planet 3 last week without any word whatsoever.
Yeah, it's no fanfare whatsoever.
It's not like that game is really worth any words.
But you know, Mega Man's not going to be their Call of Duty.
No.
But I think the problem, and I think this is the problem with a lot of the industry, is that nobody wants that B-tier franchise that goes on and sells 1 million, 2 million copies and does decently. Like, everybody wants that one hit, that one home run. And, you know, Mega Man still has a brand. I mean, if I was Capcom, and I hope something comes of this, I would be kicking myself right now. Between this and the fact that they have him in Smash Bros. Next year, I would have Mega Man 11 or something ready to go for next year.
I mean, Mega Man could be such a great... I mean, Mega Man is probably not going to sell $60 titles anymore. But having Mega Man as, like, this... in this downloadable space as a consistent series for, like, $15 to $20, I mean, that would be great.
And the other thing is, and looking at the concept art, it's an evolution of the art style. I mean, when we saw with Mega Man 9 and 10, which is they went back to the 8-bit style, which is nice for a retro throwback, but this is a kind of an evolution. This is kind of bringing that style to a current standard without, you know, breaking the bank.
Yeah, and going for 2.5D instead of 2D animation.
Heck, I would even look into using like the Street Fighter 4 engine. Granted, probably not that big. For Mega Man, no, Mega Man's not in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, actually.
Mm.
But yeah, using that engine to power this, it's just really weird. Like, I would be disappointed if Capcom doesn't announce fans of a Mega Man title just to kind of cut this off. Because, I mean, it has a year and a half to go. I'm sure you can come up with a decent Mega Man game in that time, or announce a Mega Man game in that time. But
yeah. But the thing is, I would probably still be more excited about Mighty Number 9 just because of the talent involved.
I mean,
it's not just Inafune who's managing the whole thing. I mean, you have, who else is on there?
But I'm personally excited for A4.
Now we are Tomita, who's doing the game design, which is great. Manami Matsumae is doing the soundtrack, which is also awesome. I mean, the first track they already put up is really good. Who else is there? Producer and programmer for Mega Man 9 and 10 is also on there. Takuya Aizu.
I'm just kind of curious as to whom Capcom has there. Really.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Capcom probably doesn't have the most of the talent who would be involved, who want to be involved in a new great Mega Man title.
Yeah. And
I mean, even Ben Judd came out of the woodwork for this game.
It reminds me of Shovel Knight, which is also another game I'm excited for this year.
Yeah, that looks also really good.
Where they had some... And another game that was fun to do Kickstarter with the Mega Man design in it. And everybody's doing Mega Man except for Capcom. It's kind of the same way that everybody does Metroid Kickstarters except for a Nintendo... Well, you know, not a Nintendo Kickstarter. But.
Yeah. And I know what I mean. Everyone's doing Metroid kind of games except Nintendo.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and the other thing people are talking about...
It sometimes feels like some of these companies are overthinking their games, sometimes.
I mean, there are certain...
Or they don't think that these franchises are worth as much as they actually are.
And I think that's it. I think that's the rub. I think, you know, like with Capcom, I think they were smart to do Mega Man 9 and 10 digitally. I think paying $10-$15 for a Mega Man game in a classic style made more sense than doing $60. And I think that's where the rub is that there is, and we've had this discussion before, there is a certain element to game design that you should kind of look into and say, like, okay, you know what, we're going to make this type of game, we're going to sell 1 million copies at $30. That's let's budget for that and not say, okay, we need to sell 5 million copies at $60 to break even. Because that's not realistic for many games on the market, and that's kind of why we're between the AAA titles and the indie titles. There's really no in between there anymore. Because like I said, this game is a bit off. I am going to support it. I don't know if I'm going for the $20 version or the $60 version yet.
I backed the $20 version myself, but I'm still debating upping to the $40 version because of the soundtrack.
You know what? I might not do the $60 because I don't need a physical box. I would like it, but I was just talking to my friends yesterday about needing to get rid of that stuff for space in, so I don't want it for a game that's digital, as far as I know. So
yeah
there's that. But yeah, check it out. Great video, really. I could.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention they also have the two-player production guys, basically, which they are a stretch goal. So we will also get documentary out of that. Most likely. Which is cool. I mean, you rarely get these inside stories from Japanese developers.
Yeah. And they're pretty honest about it, which I think was one of the problems with Shadows of the Eternal. Sorry to keep beating up for your game, Jason.
I mean, it's not a game anymore, so...
Well, no, they said they're going to reevaluate it and come back. I think.
That means we're looking for private funding, but nobody's funding us yet.
Oh, they're going to find somebody who's going to back half, like, okay, we can get this much raise. Can you match that much or something like that? But, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's worth checking out. Check it out if you haven't already backed it, because everybody on my Twitter feed seems to be talking about it, which is how I discovered it. So, yes, Mighty Number 9. And before we continue with the news, we're just going to jump backwards and actually talk about what we've been playing recently.
It was just so exciting news to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the few... I don't want to say it's one of the few good Kickstarters. We've had good Kickstarters, but...
Yeah, but for you, probably, some of those... or some other people who are more console-focused are not exactly thrilled when they heard, oh, we are making a new Wasteland. A lot of people were like, what?
I was one of those people. I was like, what's a Wasteland? It's a Fallout clone.
There's a couple of them, but it's always interesting to see. You get some, I mean, granted, not every game's going to be a winner, which is, you know, anything you should be wary about when you're, you know, using your money to support something. But this one looks good. It's a great video. He's very personal about it. He speaks to you, and he speaks to about his experience in Capcom. And to be honest, they aren't really shying away from the fact that this is Mega Man.
No, they allude to it multiple times in the video.
Yeah.
I mean, allusion is probably too weak of a word.
Yeah, it's so bad that some people are afraid that this might get shut down due to copyright infringement.
Which is not going to be the case.
No, I mean, one, Capcom's not that desperate, I don't think. And the other thing is, they have no grounds to stand on. Like, granted, this is, like, they could just say we're changing the art style, this is a parody, and you're covered under that ground.
And even that's not necessary. It's just their style. His style is going to look like style.
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. But anyhow, what we've been playing recently. I guess I want to kick this off, partially because I already played the demo, but since we're talking about retro and old school, I did check out Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows.
Why?
Because I am a Ninja Turtles fan. I have been a Ninja Turtles fan since I was a wee little lad, and I will always be a Ninja Turtles fan.
You know, I'm actually glad
That's actually not a good reasoning.
I, like, forgot it was coming out this week, and I probably would have checked it out, too, until I heard you talking about it, and I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily a good reason, it's not necessarily a bad reason. I have a lot of experience checking out stuff because I enjoy the license involved with it. I own way too many Ninja Turtle games that have kind of burned me. Actually, I don't remember the last good Ninja Turtles game I own. But I had high expectations for this. Art style aside, because the art style is hideous, and I heard this whole notion that we needed a quote-unquote mature Ninja Turtles game for a mature Ninja Turtles audience. I mean, I've been a Ninja Turtles fan for 25-ish years? Something like that. Whenever the show came out in 89, so 24 years.
Yeah.
And I don't care what it looks like. I wake up and I have no problem reading this. I wake up Saturday morning and I check out the show on Nick. I've seen all the movies. I own them on Blu-ray. even though it has two. I've watched the 2003 cartoon series. I've watched Next Mutation, which I'm not proud of. I own Reshelled and Arcade Edition and all that other fun stuff. So,
do you own the old comics?
I own old comics. I don't own too many of the comics, though.
See, if they wanted to go mature, they should have gone back to, like, the original Ninja Turtles comics that were, like, black and white and hyper-violent.
Yeah. That's what I don't get. If you want to go with a mature Ninja Turtles style, they have several comic books. They have the first movie, and even some of the animated series, if you just went with a darker look to it, it would have worked. There was no reason, there was no need to redesign the turtles in this quote-unquote mature style. It's Ninja Turtles. I don't think many people care if it's mature or not. Just make it Tony more serious than the 89 cartoon series. That's all you have to do to make it mature to most people. But they went with this hideous art style, and to match this hideous art style, they also went with this terrible voice acting. I don't know why there's a perfectly fine cartoon series on the air. You could have gotten those voices. It even starts off with a Nickelodeon logo, so it's related to that product. But yeah,
I guess Nick owns the license, and that's why.
But I mean, I can imagine so, because like I said, Nick also has a game coming out this year as well. Which is really odd.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's also odd because of the setup. It's like, I think it's 360, Wii, and 3DS. yeah, odd console combination. But yeah, anyhow, bad voice acting, terrible graphics, I can kind of forgive. It's the combat that's really just a mess. I mean, it's a simple beat 'em up, you would think. Okay. X is for attack, Y is for attack, B for block. But your characters don't really react in the way you want them to, and combos are kind of broken in the sense that they stop as soon as you miss a hit, which makes sense, except like if you hit somebody to the ground, and like, you have the carry-up attack sometimes, it doesn't factor in the person hits the ground, it just kind of whiffs at the air, and then you use your combo. It's a very... Like, it tries to be the Arkham engine. I don't know why anybody can't mimic that Arkham engine properly. It's a very simple engine. But it has that, and then it has like a really broken combat that has no feel to it. And then the demo doesn't really exhibit, and I hate this is a bigger problem in the game as well. It has terrible level design, where it looks like you can go somewhere, but you can't go anywhere, and the game doesn't really give you an idea of why you can't go there. Like, I'd be on a roof, and it's like, okay, jump off the roof, right, press it, A. I jump on one side, fine. You try the other side, and the turtle will just, like, run in place. It leads to the same place. Why won't he jump off of that side of it? It's frustrating. The camera is set up in such a way that I'm sure you're all fans of Ninja Turtles. You know, Mouse is everybody's favorite thing to beat up in video games.
Mm.
It's like, they'll attack you from off screen, and because they're so fast and nimble, you just kind of get hit from behind, and you don't really get to see anything, because they attack so quickly. So it's one of those cameras where it probably needed to be up a little bit more, and probably enemies shouldn't be attacking you from off screen like that. But in my experience with it, the OE redeeming thing is that it has four-player online co-op, which is the reason I may still get it. It's because I want to play with my friends. And yes, I know that makes me a terrible person for saying it's a horrible game, but I still want to buy it. But I do have co-op games, so I have a weakness. That said, unless your friends are really, really diehard Ninja Turtle fans like mine and want to play Warfare Co-op, I would avoid this game at all costs. Especially for $15.
Yikes.
Oh, and the other thing, which I didn't get to play, but I checked out the achievements, it's like one of those old school achievements which are just terrible. It's like killing 100 enemies with each turtle using a special move.
Ugh.
Yeah,
it's just busy work.
Yeah, it's like Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Perfect Dark achievements are awful. Get 1,000 kills in this mode. Get 1,000 kills in that mode. Get 1,000 kills using that weapon. Get 1,000 kills using this weapon. And it's all worth like 5 points apiece.
Yeah. Terrible.
Terrible.
Anyway, also remember when Summer for Kate was actually good?
Yeah, I was. Is there even? I mean, the only one I've heard good things about was Two Brothers.
All right, that's possible.
I don't even
know
what the lineup is this year, to be honest.
It was Two Brothers. It was Ninja Turtles. It was two other games people forgot.
That's another one, odd, which was also shit. I think.
They've done a pretty poor job of promoting it.
It was, oh wow, yeah, it was Flashback.
Oh right, so it's new Flashback, ugh.
And it was Charlie Murder.
Ah, Charlie Murder is also something. I don't know, I think it got decent reviews. I'm not
sure, but I
have absolutely no interest in it.
I actually didn't even hear about this. Yeah, it's one of those, it seems like, I mean, granted, it's a transitional period, so I understand that they probably wanted to focus, more on next year, probably getting that up on 9. I will also note, just because, while I'm ranting at Microsoft for trying to, kind of dropping the ball, games to go this month are, I think, Magic 2033 and Rainbow Six Vegas.
Damn it, I just remembered that I forgot to download Dead Rising last night. Oh well.
I mean, Magic is a decent game, and it's okay as a free game, but Rainbow Six Vegas?
Rainbow Six Vegas?
Six game? Really?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's a good game
too, but like, even Rainbow Six Vegas 2 is an old game, and we're going back. Like, it just illustrates the difference between
them and Sony.
Yeah, I mean, between these, you know, whatever they're calling it, games with gold or whatever, and like, what are we getting from PlayStation Plus, like, this week? Or this month? I forget.
This
month, like,
isn't that much better for us. I mean, Europe gets all these fantastic games. I think
Europe gets the best deals. I'm super pissed.
Yeah,
enjoy it, Martin.
I do.
Most of it is actually, I think, PSP, PS Vita stuff. We get Grand Theft Auto, Liberty Cities, Stories, I should say, Resident Evil, The Dark Side Collection.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which I would be excited about, except I think you need a Move to play that game.
Yeah. I think you can use the controller, but...
can you?
You get the HD Ico, which I might check out.
Yeah, I haven't played Ico. But I feel bad saying, like, oh, Ico is so cool, and that's, like, what, a 2001 game, and we were just crashing
a 2003.
Now I know what we are getting. We are actually getting Assassin's Creed 3 in September.
See? It can be different.
I mean, and that's what I mean that's actually what we mean when we are talking about Microsoft getting out a 2006 game. I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 is not even a year old, and that's a really big title.
Yeah.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Xbox got Assassin's Creed 2.
But to be fair, we're not getting it. It's Europe. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you might still get it. I mean,
granted, I could just get a European PlayStation just account. But.
Yeah. First of all, that, and secondly, you might still get it. I mean, I think you also got Sleeping Dogs just later as we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's just one of those things. I mean, I think part of the reason I was also upset is because I already own Rainbow Six Vegas again because it came out in 2006. It was one of the first games I got on my Xbox. I used to play Tea Hunt with my friends.
I also played the game a lot. It's a great game, but come on. That's all you can do?
Yeah. Right.
And they still have to get us Halo 3 at some point, which is super exciting because that hasn't had 3 sequels since then.
What?
They should at least give out Reach.
It's like they looked at how successful PlayStation Plus was and they're like, what's the least possible effort we could do to make it look like we're trying to match their service?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the thing
is, we're going to get Perfect Dark Zero next. Just wait.
That was my joke on Twitter yesterday. He's like, they can't go any further back. I mean, I think Rainbow Six is like January 2006. So any games they can go back to, like Perfect Dark or Condemned. We'll get King Kong.
Condemned would at least be a decent game.
But again, there was a sequel, but I'm sure we'd get the first one.
Yeah. I mean, at least you get to keep your games, even if you don't have gold anymore. So, one positive, if you don't own these games from like 10 years ago, you can pick them up for like $2 at your GameStop. Anyhow, Martin, what have you been playing?
I did mention on the last podcast that I got my Vita, and I've been actually playing a lot of stuff, like stuff that I've missed out on, like Soul Sacrifice, for example. But I guess the only new thing that I've played is the Vita version of Spelunky, which I've also written a review of, which will hopefully be up by the time you listen to this. But Spelunky for the Vita is actually really good, and it's basically the same game as the 360 game from last year, but with all the DLC included, and with what I think a way better multiplayer mode, which is still not online, but now you can basically play 4-player co-op with up to 4 different systems. And the great thing is you no longer have to stay on the same screen, but everyone has basically their own screen on a Vita. And the really cool thing is you can even combine that with a PS3. So someone could play on his PS3, and another one could play on his Vita, and everyone has their own screen to progress through the levels. Which is great, because, Spelunky has really tight controls, and it's a really hard platformer, and sticking together on the same screen made the game even more difficult. And it's not like in the new Super Mario Bros. Games where death is not a huge issue, because the game is also roguelike. If you die, it's over. You have to start all over again. So I think that feature actually makes the multiplayer way more viable, and therefore I think that's actually the best version of the game.
Okay. And you will have your full review up. Well, by the time this goes up, the full review will be up on the site. Okay, so check that out, especially being that apparently a lot of people are disappointed with the PlayStation Vita version of Rayman Legends, which has cut out something like 15% of the game.
Wow. Yeah,
it's like...
Is that because of the size limitations of a game card?
They haven't said anything. It's just fans kind of...
Because that's what happened to MLB The Show. They had to cut out a couple modes because of... I think there's a 4 GB size limit. Might be a little bit bigger, but...
Yeah, the thing is, though, I think it's like 10 levels. Apparently they've cut out all the invasion levels, which sucks. I was kind of interested in getting Rayman Legends for my Vita, but now probably not. The other thing is, some people I already heard about, if that's true, Ubisoft better delivers, like, I don't know, a patch or something for free that adds the stuff in for people.
The thing I don't get, and I find this kind of curious, is the fact that if you're going to cut content, and it's never a good thing, why not cut the content that was repeated? Because they also have origin stages in this game.
Yeah, that's the worst offender of all of this, that they repeat origins stuff, and they apparently kept that in. Especially if you think about it, that a lot of people already probably have origins on the system.
On the it's
also free for PlayStation Plus members, so yeah. I don't know what they are thinking. I really hope we will hear a statement or something, and if maybe it really is the size limitation of the card, I would hope that they release at least a patch for people so they can download those levels. Or something.
It's gonna be DLC. They're gonna charge you the extra $20 for Rayman, and it's a complete experience.
No, it should be free, of course. Anything else, and it would be look even worse.
Yeah. So there you go. I don't even know. Oh yeah. So yeah. I mean, I also think it's a... Well, they didn't announce it, so I was going to say it's a crummy thing. It's kind of hard. It's PAX week, and a lot of people are busy, which is probably why we haven't heard anything from it yet. But at the same time, they probably should have been up front, because they were kind of told in the fact that this has exclusive levels. I guess they didn't mention that it would be missing other levels to make up for that, so this, that.
Yeah. We will see.
Okay. Have you been playing anything else?
Like I said, nothing new. I played some Soul Sacrifice, which I'm actually quite enjoying. It is quite different from Monster Hunter, but it has some Monster Hunter DNA in it. In the sense,
I forgot that you got a Vita.
I got it last week, that's why.
Oh, there you go. Finally have one on the crew.
Yeah. Because also it's like these short levels where you have to kill specific monsters. But what I really like is how the, I guess, let's call it the weapon system, magic system works, because all based on magic, which you can only use so often, which is an interesting mechanic. So you have to actually figure out which magic do you take with you against these specific enemies, which one do you use in which situation, stuff like that. That's actually pretty interesting. I haven't had a chance to try out the online yet, but yeah, so far I'm liking a lot. Can be kind of difficult at times, but it's still probably easier to get into than Monster Hunter, because the controls are way more action game-like than deliberate, which they are in Monster Hunter, where there is a lot of animation priority, which you don't have in this game. So it might be easier to get into for people who thought like, ew, Monster Hunter, I don't know about the controls.
Okay. how well did that game do?
I don't know. I don't care. I just thought it looked interesting to me, and I bought it. I don't know.
But that's what I was curious about, because it kind of had a hype in the first half of the year, and I haven't really heard anything about it.
When I was at the store, there was like a bestseller list of Vita games, and it was the second best-selling Vita title. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's performing decently. I mean, I just anecdotally, I know my boss plays it all the time. Like, he's all about that game.
Yeah, it seems to have also a lot of content, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so there you go. Check it out. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some type of big home console version if it's on the PS4.
That would be cool. Or a sequel.
Yeah.
I mean, there is precedent for that in pretty much all of the great PSP games coming out on PS2, but I always thought that was a curious strategy, because then it's devalues the PSP.
I thought it would be interesting if they made actually a Soul Sacrifice 2 and put it on the PS4.
Oh, okay. It's not like a port.
No, not like a port. But
I think it'd be cool if there was like crossplay and stuff.
Yeah, or something like that, where you can get like a slightly lesser-looking version on the Vita, I guess, or something
like
that.
Yeah, you know, you're playing on your PS4, but then you want to go, you know, somewhere you play it on.
Yeah. Kind of like with Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate.
3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, I'm going to pick on it anyhow, because I like to do that. When doesn't Sony devalue their handhelds?
That's a good question.
I mean, most of their major titles ended up on the PS3. Their PS Vita titles mostly have been ports of PS3 titles. They have, I think, 4 exclusives lined up for the next year, and these are the same. 2 of them were announced a year ago. So,
yep.
Don't sleep on Destiny of Spirits.
I haven't even heard about that. I know what it is. I haven't heard about it since E3. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of the problem. It's like Sony gives... I don't want to go into this, because I always feel like I'm down on the Vita, which isn't necessarily true. I just think that Sony needs... If they're going to position it as the indie system, which a lot of people want, you know, seem to be pushing towards that angle,
yeah,
then position it as that, and then you have to drop the price beyond $200.
I agree. And also, they need to be... Sony needs to lock up some timed exclusives or something, because the one problem with the indie push is all the Vita versions are coming out after other systems. So, like, as for someone who's following the indie scene, I guarantee you they have a PC... And they probably have, you know, a console or two also. And if they're really into these indie games, they're most likely playing a Spelunky or a Hotline Miami or whatever on another system before it comes to Vita, you know. So I think
it
seems to be a new initiative this year, and maybe that's something that's going to be worked on in the future. But I think right now that's kind of a problem with branding it as an indie system.
Well, you have to remember that now it seems like a lot of the indie titles are going to be released at the same time on PS4 and Vita, like Hotline Miami 2, for example.
Yeah,
they already talked about that. I think that's cool. That's for me another reason to keep this thing, because
I like
indie titles, and having them also on the go with me is kind of cool. And,
yeah, and
what you're talking about, Jason, I actually don't have a PC. I have a Mac, and not all the indie titles are coming out on the Mac, or some might actually be too taxing. I don't know. Not all indie games are just 2D games. So for me, it's cool.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you didn't have a Vita, if you had a choice between a PS4 and a PS Vita, because of the indie support, would you have...
Sorry. Repeat again?
Okay, PS4, PS Vita, next year, indie games, similar things, what would you pick up with your money?
I'd still pick up the PS4, of course.
Which is my point, though. It's like, at some point, you have to have games that give you a reason to buy the Vita, or a price that's like, okay, you know what, $100, I can pick up a bunch of, you know, it can be my indie, you know, it's kind of like the Ooyah. Granted, that's not doing well, but price at $100, it becomes an impulse buy, and you can be like,
$200 at $100 is an impulse buy.
Oh, yeah, but I think at $200
is pretty good value.
I think $200 trying to sell it as a digital distribution platform is too much, because the price of entry is too much. The reason it does well on phones is
it's the same as a 3DS XL.
Which we'll get to that in a second.
I don't disagree. And you know, I also bought a Vita because I got it for cheap.
Yeah, and you got to sell games that came with it.
Yeah. So,
I'm just saying,
a good investment that way.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying it's a good investment per person. I just don't think Sony has given a reason for it to be a good investment for people in general.
No, for the wider market, not yet, I think. No,
you're
right. Absolutely.
And
it would be nice if they maybe figure out to make it interesting for indies to do exclusive games for Vita, of course. That might be something interesting. But on the other hand, I can completely understand why indie developers don't want to be exclusive. I mean, that's the very nature of that. It's kind of against what a lot of us indies want to do. They want to create the games, they want to play themselves, and they want to actually share these experiences with as many people as possible. So
Yeah, so there's that. And I think the other thing, and I think this goes for any of them, I mentioned this before, is like, I will consider an indie push really seriously when I start seeing commercials on TV for them. Pretty much right now, you're just singing to the choir with doing it on like games conventions or doing it on like games websites. There's already people who are in the know, kind of just, I mean, granted, like, we don't all know about every game that's out everywhere, so you are raising awareness, but I do think at some point you're going to have to start advertising to the mass market with these games. And I'm not saying you're dedicating a whole, you know, minute to Minecraft or something like that, but, you know, like, maybe if you have enough indie games, you do like a 30-second sizzle reel as a commercial.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I could see that happening, actually.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see who's the first one to actually do something with that. Because right now, everybody's just kind of giving lip service to indie games by having them on their stage, but are you going to actually throw money towards it and start advertising it during, like, CBS or NBC or something like that? Okay, before we get to other news, Jason, have you been playing anything new?
Sadly, I've not been playing much in my month or so since I last was on here. Mostly just a bit of God of War, Ghost of Sparta on the PS3, just making my way through, and
there's a PSP port.
Correct. Yeah. Speaking of, but I mean, obviously, it's kind of an old game at this point, but I've been really enjoying it. And there have been several. I don't know if you guys have played it, but there have been several sequences, and I'm probably like 2/3 of the way through now, that I just, in the context that it was originally a PSP game, like, I'm impressed that they were able to get some of these scenes out from that system, like, in terms of harnessing that power, you know, like, Ready at Dawn did some crazy black magic with the PSP, and the game itself is just, I mean, it just further illustrates how disappointed I was with God of War Ascension. The design in Ghost of Sparta, and, I mean, at this point, the only one in the series I haven't played is God of War 2, which I've only heard great things about. but it's just so...
Wait, wait, you haven't played God of War 2?
No, I didn't
have
a PS2.
What the hell are you doing?
So. Well,
it's
since
on
I
PS3.
Have the... I have it. I'm going to finish Ghost of Sparta first, because it comes chronologically before 2.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
you're one of those guys.
I mean, I
you
guess.
You watch episode 1 before you watch episode 4.
But, yeah, I don't know, it's, I'm really enjoying it, I definitely recommend it to anyone who likes God of War or action games or anything. It's, and there are a couple things that are unique to this game that I think add a lot of depth to, like, the rote combat that we're all so used to, which is one of the things that, you know, Ascension, I thought, struggled with, was it was kind of monotonous for being the sixth game in the series. In Ghost of Sparta, like, you get this alternate weapon that's like a Spartan spear and shield, and it's completely different from, you know, pretty much, well, I don't know, again, I haven't played 2, but for all the other games, your weapon variations are pretty much like another version of your Blades of Chaos, you know, whether it's like the Cestus in God of War 3, which are like, you know, mallets on your fist, but there's still two of them, they're still on a chain, you know, etc. Like, the spear and shield completely change it. It makes you play more defensively, because when you thrust the spear, like, there's kind of a cooldown time, more or less, and you're a lot more effective using the shield and countering. And it's weird. It's really good in, like, one-on-one combat or, like, against a few enemies, and then I kind of tend to switch to the blades if I'm dealing with, like, a mob. And there's also this mechanic where... It's like you, I forget what it's called, but you bathe your blades in fire, and you have like a separate meter for that, like beneath your magic and health. And it basically, it serves a couple things. One, it adds like this fire damage. Certain enemies and puzzle obstacles or whatever are like coated in metal, and you can only damage them using the fire like power up, I guess, for lack of a better word. So it adds a nice little wrinkle and strategy to what you're doing, and obviously the meter drains, so there's a bit of meter management going on there too. But yeah, overall, I mean, I'm still not entirely sold on the whole, the game story kind of centers around Kratos going after his, like, long-lost brother, and I really have a hard time believing that Kratos gives a crap about anybody else, but other than that, like, I've been loving the game.
Kratos is a very emotional and caring guy.
But he's always emotional in, like, an angry way, and, I mean, it's still true in Ghost of Sparta, but it's kind of hard to mesh that concept of he's so angry and, oh my god, my brother, like, I need to save him. You know, it's there's this disconnect there for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would check it out if you can.
Okay. Which brings us to news, and we've already kind of touched on a lot of stuff, but somehow we haven't touched on the craziest stuff yet, and I'm going to start with the crazy, but not as crazy as what comes after it, but the 8 and 7 Wonderfix stuff, which is Zevul 5 just kind of embracing the mobile scene as well as everybody else. The 8 and 7
is the sequel to the Leighton Brothers, right? Or is it just a...
It's in the same. I think it's in the same mode in that it uses the Aiden name without actually being a first Aiden game. I think Aiden 7 is just a really cheap name because it would be Professor Aiden 7 if they came up with the next one. But right. It's actually, I think, 7 main characters or something like that. And as far as I can tell, it has nothing to do with the Aiden style of game. It's not a puzzle game. I'm not even really sure what it is. But, yeah, this is coming out, I think it's next year, for iOS, Android, and 3DS, which is a really interesting system setup.
Yeah, I've only seen the Wonderfix stuff, I think. I saw the trailer for the... I think they only showed the smartphone version. But
yeah, smartphone version's out this year, and then the...
It looks interesting, I guess.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt with this. It's just that it's the idea of a simplified RPG that you can play in, you know, bite-sized chunks makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it could work if done right, and I mean, Level 5 has the time to do it well. I just think part of it is people's apprehensions towards the idea of mobile devices. Because this is a mobile Eden game that's coming to be ported to the Xbox One, PS4, Wii U, and Vita next year.
Yeah, but who knows if it will be exactly the same? Have they said? I can't imagine that it will be exactly the same game.
Well, I think part of it is, from what I understand, it's like it's a second screen game, so if you use it on the PS4 or the Xbox One, you have to use like a tablet or smartphone.
Ah,
I don't know,
okay.
You know, if the PlayStation 4 version would also allow you to use the Vita as a controller in that sense.
It would probably work because, I mean, the Vita has a touch screen, so...
Yeah, I mean, the Vita and the Wii U version, easy peasy, no problem there.
Yeah.
It's the ones that don't have natural... I mean, I guess technically the PS4 does have a touch panel, so you can use that, depending on how accurate you need to be with it. I mean, I'm all for giving them a chance. It's something different. It's not your typical, you know, turn-based RPG that you tend to get on mobile or in general, so...
Yeah.
You know, it's playing to the strength of the touch-based genre, and I've said this before, I think RPGs are one of the genres that you don't need direct control over, so touch or even motion-based controllers for it are fine.
Yeah.
As long as you design the game around it.
Yeah. I'm not going to hate on it. I have no problem with mobile gaming. If it's well done, I'm probably going to check it out. I think it's going to be free-to-play. Did we mention that?
I don't even know.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I have no problem with mobile gaming. I just find it funny how people react to every mobile game announcement. Like, it's the end of the world for them.
The only thing I can understand is when it's like, hey, beloved franchise is finally coming back, and then it's a mobile game. Then I can sometimes understand the frustration.
I mean, part of it, again, is, you know, going back to our earlier conversation with the, Mighty Number 9 is that it's really just hard to make a profitable game in this ecosystem, and they just figured that mobile is kind of ripe for it, and it has a brand that people trust. And granted, you can also just you can just as well embrace arcade releases and stuff like that.
The only thing worse, I think, for most people is, and also for me, is when it's not even a mobile version but a pachinko game. like when new Suikoden was announced and it was a pachinko game. Fuck that.
It's pachinko hating in the house.
I will hate on pachinko all day if you let me.
But that was not the weirdest or most vocal reactions to news this week. It was actually surprisingly enough from Nintendo, who have always made decisions that everybody has always agreed with wholeheartedly. But I have to say, when I heard about the Nintendo 2DS, I thought it was one of those April Fool's jokes that people like to play.
Yeah.
Which apparently was the case, because it was an April Fool's show for some site last year?
Yeah. Or 2 years ago, I think. But
something
yeah.
like that. But yes. You hear the 2DS and you're like, this is just stupid. What does this even mean?
Oh, and then you see it. And you're just like, what is like, that?
And then you sit on that and you still kind of wonder what they were smoking when they came up with this. But it does start to make a little bit of sense.
I'm probably one of the few guys who was immediately on Twitter and said, like, this is their Pokemon machine.
Oh, definitely.
I think my first reaction was, this is real. Because I saw somebody link to like an IGN article about 2DS. I'm like, why are they making up like are they envisioning a new system for it? I'm like, no, this is an actual thing. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I think other thing that caught people for a loop was the fact how this was announced. It was just a press release.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I would expect like a Nintendo Direct or something like that.
I mean, we'll get to, because there was a lot of stuff that came out in this press release. It wasn't just the 2DS.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you would think a Nintendo Direct or something. I mean, something. It's just like, oh yeah, Nintendo's announced a 2DS. Here's our hands-on impressions. Oh, okay, so this is just a thing. But yes, since we haven't actually explained what a 2DS is yet, a 2DS is the newest member of the 3DS family. Wait for it, because that's not confusing at all yet. It is a 3DS without 3D, and it doesn't close or have hinges or has a clamshell design, however you want to explain it. It's a
it's wedge shaped.
People
are calling it the doorstop.
I say it's more like a slice of toast.
Yeah.
I mean, it can go either way. It just looks really funny. I don't know if you've seen the picture. It also looks like an axe to some people.
I haven't seen that one. That's good.
So, yeah, it's a lot of things, but it's the newest version of the 3DS. It removes 3D. It removes stereo sound. If you don't use headphones, it's just mono. It removes the hinges and stuff like that. It actually removes two screens. It's actually one giant screen now. That's divided by plastic to give the illusion of being two screens.
There also is no power saving mode.
There is no power saving mode. But there is a sleep mode, so I guess that's kind of something.
Yeah. On the other hand, it does have a bigger battery, apparently, or at least better battery life.
I'm not using the 3D effect than
the regular 3D effect.
Yeah, not much more, but it's slightly better.
Yeah, like half an hour or 2 hours.
I wonder if it keeps the charge longer. And I think the most important thing and the most impressive thing here is that it comes in at $130.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if they could get it down to $100.
I actually think they should have had like a 150 Pokemon bundle. I mean, it already comes out on the same day as Pokemon.
We'll get to that in a second because it's going to be really confusing. But they do offer 3DS XL Pokemon bundles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, those bundles are probably for hardcore collectors. But yeah, there are actual Pokemon bundles. There are actual Pokemon 3DSs. There's the Pikachu, which I've actually seen in the wild.
Yeah, I've seen it in the wild, too. It's pretty frightening.
It stands out.
It's hideous. I still want it, but it's hideous.
Yeah, coming in at $130 with Pokemon for, what, $40? Net to $170, which is $10 more than just buying the 3DS original by itself.
It's the same.
Is it? Oh, yeah, it is.
It's $169, so $130.
Yeah, true.
In the U.S., at least.
Yeah, so this is the Pokemon machine. This is the preparant to Dick, and I was looking at the calendar this week as well because we were putting together our games this for the fall. And this is also the same weekend as Skylanders. So I would hate to be a parent that weekend.
Yeah. And it
Well, presumably a lot of parents are going to get it for Christmas.
And yeah, yeah.
And it shows that it's for the small children because, I mean, the 3D effect is not in there because of the weird fear of people getting kids getting like eye cancer if they are under 7 and using 3D. I don't know.
I also believe that Nintendo had to make that a official part of the 3DS is that it may cause eye strain for children under 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if it's, you know, it may not be true for everybody, but, you know, that automatically triggers some alert in parenting.
Yeah.
And I think, too, they're making it very clear because anyone who's over 7 just looks at this thing and laughs. Like, there's no market.
Which is what you get with the internet because that was all the... That's still what the reactions are. It's a bunch of people that, you know, I don't want this. This isn't for me. And I'm like, yeah, they have two other systems for you.
Yeah,
same for me.
As much as I have and will continue to make complete mockery of it because I think it's a disgustingly hideous design device. It's going to sell gangbusters. I mean, 140 and like you said, same day as Pokemon, like
130.
Kids are all about this. Oh yeah, 130, yeah. So, on the one hand, it's another brilliant stroke by Nintendo. On the other hand, it's just like, did you really have to design something this ugly to get down to that price point? I mean, yeah, sure, it doesn't really matter. Like, the results are going to be this more or less the same, but it's still...
I feel like this was designed specifically for a reason, and that is that it does kind of harken back to the Leapfrogs and the Fisher-Price toys that kids are accustomed to.
It does look like those.
It also has tablet similarities.
Yes, I feel like that's going to be the thing. It has a...
I've heard that comparison thrown out a lot, and I really don't think that
it's not
they're going to be like, oh my god, it's like a tablet.
I don't think an adult tablet. I think a kid's tablet. I mean, it's the same way that you give kids like those fake cell phones when they want a smartphone or something. You just give them something that makes noise when they press buttons, and they tend to be content with it. I will say this much, and this is, you know, this is us as well, but going through my Twitter time feed and going through people on like, forums and stuff like this, the people who have kids or the people who have friends who have kids are all for this device.
Oh, yeah. Like I said,
don't have kids are the ones who are saying this is a hideous device.
Oh,
just remember, no 3D, parents don't have to worry about this thing. There are no hinges which can break. So this thing will probably be pretty sturdy, I would assume.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably why. It's probably be bulky because it's plastic instead of like, the hard finish that the PS has.
And slightly better battery life was also great. So, yeah, if I was a parent, this looks, of course, attractive.
The other thing is, and you know, people are saying that, you know, with the screen being exposed, it's probably easier for them to scratch that up and stuff like that. One, kids will scratch it up no matter what.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I've seen enough while I went to the Nintendo World store for the Mario and Luigi Dream Team. Parents don't give their kids these stuff without having all types of protection on it anyhow.
Yeah. Mm. I did hear a good point, too, that, like, while the screen is some concern, the most likely thing to be broken on a 3DS is the hinge.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but
so,
it makes sense if you've ever been around kids who like to open and close stuff or play it apart.
I was one of those kids.
Also, I mean, even in the promotion video already, they have like this new case for the thing.
Yeah.
So they are very aware of, okay, this is not going to close, so we have to provide something right from the start so kids can carry this thing around safely.
Yes, and it's a genius move, because I think it's like $15
for
it to be tested.
Now, that's a reasonable price for a case.
Oh, it's a reasonable price. At the same time, they could have just given it to you for free.
Well, sure.
It's just
Nintendo is operating at a loss for like the last 2 years.
This time around, they're putting a charger back in here in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
I still can't believe that happened.
I know. I mean, it wasn't for us. I didn't care.
Oh, I know. I bought a 3DS XL and mine came with a charger, but the fact that anybody had to deal with that is just ridiculous.
A wonderful, wonderful charge.
And I'm pretty sure it didn't come charged either, so you just open it up and you're like, well...
No, mine came charged.
Oh, yeah? So you had like 2.5 hours before...
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the 2DS, I also have an article up on the website about this. There are, I don't know if any of you messed around the DSiWare shop when they put that up, but it's a lot of stuff that they put out that weren't really that notable. But they have, like, Mario calculators and, like, Animal Crossing alarm clock and stuff like that. I think they should just kind of bundle those things into this. And, again, kind of give it that Nintendo kids tablet feel to it, because you get these apps that have Nintendo themes and, I imagine, sound effects. And again, most kids don't really care what it does as long as it makes noise. And I would also, because I was thinking Nintendo, I mean, I think part of it is because of the smartphone and erosion, and also part of it is some of the software hasn't really hit, but they've not really done a focus on, I don't want to say kid-friendly titles. I mean, you had, like, with the DS, you had, like, the Touch Generation titles. Nintendogs was big, Brain Age was big, and a lot of those titles, I mean, Brain Age and Nintendogs came out with no fanfare whatsoever. But I think if you kind of did titles like Nintendogs, Brain Age, Pilot Wings even, which are kind of, you know, pick up and play, very easy to get into, and do them for like $10-$20, I think it'd be a great thing to get with this, because I think part of the problem with the 3DS aside from the 3D was the fact that you're paying $40 per game, and that's really hard for a parent to justify doing more than once or twice a year. But if you're paying $10-$15 for it, I can pick up a couple of games for $10-$15 for a kid. It's how THQ made it happen for a while. But the Nintendo DDS, 2DS. We might as well talk about the name. terrible. I don't think anybody here disagrees with that.
I don't know, like, why not just call it, like, 3DS
because the problem
Micro
with
or something, you know, like...
The problem with it is that it has 3D in the title, so
I guess.
Assume that it still has 3D in it. And
but then isn't it a bigger problem that people are going to be confused, like, why there's no games that have 2DS branding?
like, oh, it plays 3DS games also, even though it's a 2D.
I mean,
you know, like, well, to Nintendo, us it makes perfect sense. It's fine. It's a 3DS.
But they have a giant sticker on it that says it plays all DS and 3DS games.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm not going to say it's not going to be a
brand. It's not as bad of a name as Wii U is, so.
Speaking of the Wii U, that also got a price drop, kind of, sort of, maybe. I would call this more of a SKU reshuffling than a price drop.
Yeah, I don't like it being characterized as a price drop either, because people were looking at $299 Wii U's, and they're still looking at $299 Wii U's, and especially in the case of just the deluxe, like, the value proposition is not really that improved.
I think
with
so.
With the Wind Waker bundle, it's pretty...
Yeah, I think $300 with a game makes it a lot better than $300 with nothing. But yeah, it's basically...
It does come with Nintendo Land, so okay, I'll give you that. But it's... I don't know.
It is what I suggest they should have done, because they don't have the room to drop the price to anything reasonable, because they aren't making money. But, one, get rid of multiple SKUs, because I always thought the idea of multiple SKUs is stupid. I'm happy everybody's getting rid of it this generation, except for Nintendo with their handhelds, apparently. But, yeah. The idea... I hated the Xbox Arcade and the Core and the Premium and all that other stuff, because it always just confused people.
Yeah.
And I think, especially being that Nintendo... I think naming something the Basic just looks bad.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, and hopefully this also allows them to offer it in a, you know, white and black, instead of having white be one thing and black be another thing. I doubt that held up many purchases, like anybody's buying it, but it is nice to kind of have that, because that, again, causes confusion when you have different SKUs and then different cards mean different things. But, yeah, I mean, it's the right move for now. I mean, I'm sure people would have liked to see it at $250, $200, whatever. There are people out there who want to see it without the gamepad, which I think is really stupid and backwards.
I mean, I don't know. They haven't said anything about a price drop in Europe. I think
Europe is weird, because you folks don't have a set price.
Exactly. And, but the thing is, I don't think that price drop would do much. I have already, we had, like, sales on the Wii U for, like, the basics pack for, like, $179.
Yeah, I think the difference is if you give it an actual marketing push. I think it's different than having something appear in, like, your wiki circular or in a store.
I think the difference is also it needs one or two or five bona fide system sellers.
And
you
I
know,
think...
Like, that's what the 3DS picked up over time. And I mean, sure, Mario's gonna sell well...
Mario will do well, but I don't see it like.
I don't see it doing as well as like
major
a,
audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it really depends on how they market it this fall. I do. See, I mean, because you're also getting a Lego City bundle, which we're not getting.
I can actually see Mario Kart doing well better for them, but. That's actually not coming out this year, which I still think is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you can only rush a game so fast.
Yeah, they should have focused on Mario Kart 8 instead of the other one.
I don't disagree with that. I will say that, I mean, I also think no matter what you throw up, it's stiff competition with two consoles launching anyhow.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
But we all know that Mario Kart is the big seller.
Yeah, it is a big sell, and it will sell again. It will sell well in April, and I think that's probably their part of their plan is that they hope to kind of push people towards it with this holiday, and then.
But even Mario Kart, is that so much a game people buy systems for, or is it more a game that everyone who has the system buys? Because there's a difference.
I agree with you, but I would say based on what I remember from when Mario Kart. Well, based on Mario Kart 7, based on Mario Kart Wii, and based on Mario Kart DS, Mario Kart is a game people buy systems for.
Yeah, I would say so as well. I think Mario Kart 7 probably sold a lot of systems.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I doubt Mario Kart 8 is going to do Mario Kart Wii numbers. I doubt any game's going to do Mario Kart 8, Mario Kart Wii numbers. But, yeah, I mean, even on the GameCube, I think Mario Kart Double Dash sold 7 or 8 million copies.
Yeah. That's a lot for the GameCube.
Yeah, that was like that's a what third or fourth of the user base right there.
Yeah.
I mean, my biggest problem this year, I think they have a good lineup this year. I think they have the best holiday lineup as far as exclusives goes. I think the problem. What?
Continue.
I was gonna say I think the problem is that it's all specialized in one genre. Like Mario, Sonic, and Donkey Kong are all platformers.
Yeah.
And it's a platformer that actually kicked off this console with the New Super Mario Bros. U. New Super Luigi used a platformer that was out this year. I assume that's a game that's going to get a marketing push. So I thought, I mean, granted, yes, they've had Pikmin 3, they've had Wonderful 101, and they have Lego City and stuff like that, but those aren't really system sellers. So I think they needed another type of game or a third-party exclusive game in there to kind of, diversify their roster this year. And yeah, I think that in that sense, I agree they should have focused on Mario Kart 8 this year instead of like Donkey Kong or something like that. Because Donkey Kong, as we've seen with Donkey Kong Country Returns 3DS, can sell in May as well. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be curious to see how they do this fall. I think Wind Waker bundle will help. It gives them a chance to advertise it with Zelda, and even though it's a remake of Port or whatever you want to call it, of a 12-year-old game now, I guess, I do think, you know, just kind of giving it with Zelda gives them something different to advertise with, if they start advertising the system.
Definitely, and like we were saying, it adds to the value proposition of a $300 console that you already get a game.
Yeah.
And one that you'd probably want to play, and you get a pretty swanky limited edition gamepad, so...
I don't get people who want the gamepad.
It looks so tight.
It looks fine. It doesn't look anything special. It looks like you could just paint it on or put stickers on yourself.
It looks like the Zelda 3DS, yeah.
The other thing I'm kind of curious about to see how they market it is Wii Party U. Because they've really been quiet about that for the most part, and I understand why, because the internet audience and most people don't usually embrace that type of game. But a lot of people always talk about them not, you know, and this is the same thing that happened with the Wii U. I mean, the Wii, is that this is the type of game that has a... This is the type of game that actually makes use of the controller, which I think is something they've really been missing. Like, they've had games that make, you know, Nintendo N does a decent job of it, but I think Nintendo N is too complex. It's too complex to explain to people and kind of have them get it right away. Where I think something like Wii Party U, where it's just like, oh, you can play air hockey together, is something you can get right away. And they're also doing that with a Wii controller for $50. Oh, that was the other thing that came out, is that they're being a lot more flexible with pricing, which I'm happy to see. Zelda's $50, Donkey Kong's $50, Wii Party U's $50, the Wiimote. Mario's $60, though.
Of course.
Yeah, because people will pay it.
Yeah, and I think it gives Mario that kind of, it gives it the special feel, because it's the more expensive one. It's kind of like, you know, it's their grade A franchise now.
I think Wii Party U, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
For $50 with a remote is kind of a sleeper, because, I mean, we all know how well
Nintendo
Wii Play sold with a controller, and that wasn't even really a game. This is like a real social game that you would play in your living room.
The major differences, I guess, would be that one is that the Wii U isn't the Wii in terms of sale. So, I mean, I think part of the reason Wii Play sold so well is because the Wii was so hot and people wanted to control to play Wii Sports with their friends, and this worked out cheaper than paying $40 for the controller alone.
Right.
The other thing, I guess, is at this point, everybody has Wiimotes because they had Wiis. So I'm curious to see how much of a price proposition this is for people. I mean, I want to see more about the game, but from what I've seen so far, it has a lot of cool ideas, a lot of ideas that are unique to the gamepad. I think it's again a game that you can show to people and they get instantly. But is it a game that people go out and shell $300 for? Is the question. So yeah. They still haven't shown anything about Wii Fit U, and that has a date of sometime this year.
I think it's December 6th.
December 6th is Donkey Kong.
Oh, just kidding.
Yes, that was the other thing is that Donkey Kong and Mario has a date. Mario is now in November, Donkey Kong is in December. And Nintendo seems to be embracing a Friday release schedule now. Mm. Or a weekend release schedule. I mean, they've already done Sundays, but Mario, Donkey Kong, Wii Party U, Sonic, I think are all Friday releases. Pokemon X and Y and their 2DS is a Saturday release.
Interesting.
I honestly think that makes a lot more sense than Tuesday. I've never really got why we did Tuesday.
I think Tuesday is just the realities of retail shipping schedules.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this is the first day we can get it to you.
Yeah, I believe it's also when, like, music albums come out, DVD, Blu-rays come out. It's just when retailers get that week's shipment and they put it on shelves. But obviously, there's a lot more flexibility in the modern age, especially with digital distribution and stuff. So.
Speaking of digital distribution, part of it was, there was a lot of stuff that came out in this press release, like I said. Zelda Wind Waker HD is getting a release on September 20th?
Yep, digitally. 2 weeks early, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks early from the physical release in October. And I don't want to buy this game because I really don't support HD remakes or ports or anything like that.
But it's so beautiful.
It was so beautiful before.
But it's even more beautiful.
I think that's a debate. Some people prefer it, some people don't. Some people think they overuse the bloom and stuff like that.
I think when people see this game in motion, running in whatever, can the Wii U do 1080p, by the way?
It's 1080p.
Yeah. 1080p, okay. It is so, I saw it at E3, and I was just mesmerized. And I like the original Wind Waker a lot, too. I think the art style holds up great, but, like, this is another level. It's so gorgeous.
The only reason I'm really kind of tempted about getting this, if I do get it early, is for the Ganondorf figure you get at GameStop.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yes, and I have a thing with toys, what can I say?
You have a problem?
It says Mr. Skylanders.
Hey. I don't have the game.
Yet. Okay, was there anything else from this Nintendo press release of stuff?
Did Wonderful 101 get a release date?
It has a release date. It's September 15th.
Okay.
Which is really just terrible for it now. I mean, it was awful before when it was out right before GTA. Or right after GTA 5.
Yeah.
But now it's sandwiched in between GTA 5 and Wind Waker HD in the same week.
I think it's a pretty different market.
Yeah, but I mean, for a game, I don't know if European sales for the game were abysmal. Japanese sales were even worse than that, surprisingly enough.
I mean, you kind of usually have to be a good game to sell well.
It's a good game. I mean, it's I mean, what is it, an 80 on Metacritic?
Nah, it's lower.
Is it?
Pretty sure.
That's fine. As I checked, it was like at 79. It is at 79.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's lower than 80.
74.
79 is not a terrible review score.
No, that's fine.
It's higher than it should be.
Ooh!
He has a problem with this game. He's had a problem with this game. He's had it out since he played it at E3. He's been wrong since then, but...
I don't know. I no longer have a Wii U, and I didn't have a chance to go to Nintendo at Gamescom because of scheduling difficulties, but...
It's a very deep and complex action game that isn't for everybody.
I don't know, you explained last time. I just said that I don't have any first experience, so I can't participate in this conversation.
Oh, it's not a conversation. He hates it. I can't yeah. much been back and forth for the last couple of months over that. I'll be picking it up. I was hoping they dropped the price to $50 since they're doing that with everything else, but I'll be picking that up in a couple of weeks.
You're single-handedly keeping the Wii U afloat.
That would be the case if I bought a game since I bought the system back in April. The only thing I bought in Super Luigi U, which is the only thing I bought since launch.
You didn't get Pikmin?
I'm not a Pikmin fan. And I've never been one of those people to buy a game just because I need a game to play on a system.
Yeah, I mean, you have plenty of systems to play games on, so...
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's not like I'm ever short of options, which is why I have multiple systems. Though I almost bought a game on my PS3 this week, because I haven't actually used it since September. I mean, not September. I haven't used it since, I think, February when Spec Ops.
Earl.
No, we're not going to talk about The Last of Us.
Yes.
Because I mentioned that we've been through this before with Heavy Rain, with
No. This is Dead Redemption. Don't equate The Last of Us to Heavy Rain. It's not like Heavy Rain at all.
I'm not saying it's like Heavy Rain. I'm just saying that we've been through this where people recommending me these games that I have an idea that I'm not going to love as much as other people. I pick up the game, I play it, and I don't love it as much as other people.
You should still play The Last of Us.
Whether you like or love it, you should play it.
I will play it.
It's better than Uncharted 3.
It's better than all of the Uncharteds combined.
Uncharted. I love Uncharted 2, and that's pretty much the franchise to me. Uncharted 1's tolerable. Uncharted 3 just goes too far to the extreme.
Yeah, and it's even a way better game than Uncharted 2. You should really play it.
I will play it when it's like $20.
Ah, Jesus.
Oh my god.
So it's right enough. It doesn't need my sales to justify a sequel.
No, but
as a respected commentator on games in this industry, you should be educated.
Yeah, or it's not really educated. Not bad.
You should be
long.
Up to speed. Yeah, it's not too bad.
Like 20 hours.
No. I think I finished it in 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Same. Well, like I said, when I see it for like $20, I will check out The Last of Us.
Oh, boy. You have to play it before our Game of the Year discussion.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true, which
it's
is again
going
why.
To be that conversation for sure.
Which again, why I'm sure it will be $20-$30 come Black Friday.
Okay.
If not sooner. I actually need to play a lot of games for our game to
No, the realization kicked in.
It should always kick in because I don't tend to pick up most of these games that take Bioshock Infinite.
That's okay. You can
you can skip that one. That's true. I will vehemently be against that game. So,
I think Tomb Raider was up there for some people.
No.
Saints Row 4, I've heard a lot of good stuff about now.
Yeah, that I would play, but it's a console.
I would play that too. Partially because it was our Game of the Year 2 years ago. It'd be really odd for us not to have it.
I still haven't played Saints Row 3, despite owning it on PC and PS3 now. But
you really don't have an excuse.
I know, I have zero excuse. I just need to do it.
But yeah, I guess on our final note, and this is really an odd one to end on now, but it's Jackbox. No, not Jackbox. What am I thinking of? Oh, Ghost Games is now in charge of the Need for Speed franchise.
Yeah, which is weird because first it was like EA thought it would be a great idea to split the Need for Speed franchise up. So
and it was. I mean, it rejuvenated it.
Well, the thing is,
well, not every game, but like
every
it was...
game turned out to be that golden, right? I mean, the run was kind of shitty.
Was Pro Street was even worse.
Yeah, and the Shift games were alright, I guess. Yeah.
The two Criterion games were awesome.
And the Criterion games were awesome. So and now I guess it's back to just Ghost Games now doing this. I mean, Ghost Games are the ones who are doing Need for Speed Rivals right now.
Yep.
But with some help of Criterion. I don't think they really ever clarified what that help actually entails.
Yeah, I would think it's more to do with the autolog stuff.
Maybe.
I thought it's what I said, something like 80% of the staff was working on this game.
For Ghosts?
Yeah. Well, 80% of Criterion is working on this game.
With on Ghost. Rivals?
What? Yeah, whichever one it is.
I told you, I wouldn't doubt it because the feeling when you drive the cars is really similar to the last one, so...
That's interesting, because I was going to say, I think the most interesting part of that announcement is what is Criterion working on now?
We don't know what it is, but they
know.
Not a sequel, it's it's entirely new IP, and it's not a racing game.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't Alex Ward express interest in wanting to do something other than racing fairly recently? So, like, I'm interested. What was the last game they did? Black, I think? Was that Criterion?
Black,
yeah.
That was a long time ago. I mean, that was a whole generation ago.
Yeah, it kind of sucked that it came out at the tail end of the PS2 generation.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what they do.
What Criterion is doing.
There was also something else they said this week. I always saw it in past when I was doing the news, is that if they wanted to do a next Need for Speed Underground, they'd have to sell 15 million copies.
I don't understand why.
I was reading the quote and I didn't, like, they were saying that the only way they could justify it is that if it was able to sell 15 million copies. Did the original sell 15 million copies?
Maybe, but, I mean, does that matter?
Yeah, exactly. It's the new Need for Speed. People will buy the new Need for Speed.
I mean, I'm sure it doesn't take 15 million to turn a profit.
I don't know what's so special about Underground that it would need that many copies to sell.
Yeah.
I don't know any game that needs 15 million copies to justify its existence.
That sounds more like I needed an excuse, and the higher-ups right now don't think that Underground would be a good idea.
just say that. Don't say that, oh, we could do it if you can guarantee us they would sell 15 million.
But you know the games industry. No one can talk straight in it.
Which we earned this week a lot of, between Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony all giving interviews at various websites. I will also say part of it I also have to blame on the game press, who always want to get these bite-sized quotes that are good in headlines.
Yeah.
And part of it I also want to blame on the audience, because those are the people who make a big deal out of this because, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that. Don't they understand? Okay, so anything else you folks want to talk about this week before we begin to wrap?
Not really. I think we're done.
Okay.
Yep.
So yeah, check out the website.
Can't wait till November 15th.
November 15th.
November 29th.
I was about to say, that's a long ways from now, because we have a ton of games to go.
I was going to say I'm not going to play anything between now and then, but that's not true. There are a lot of stuff.
Like I said, there's a lot of games. It's not like, and even, we'll get into this, I think next week should be, hopefully there's no major news. I think next week and the week after will be our annual fall preview shows.
Also next week I will do a Killzone Mercenary review.
Yes. So yes, check out the website. We'll have a Spelunkin review up. We'll have a Killzone Mercenary review up. We'll have, we have tons of content this podcast. Check out Martin Show from Massacre, where he gave his Gamescom's impressions on various titles. And I honestly don't know. We don't have any wiki video game content aside from this podcast, but check out the site. You never know. Oh, we also have, I think, Hello Comic Book Friends Series will have a review up this week as well. So check all that out. For Martin, Jason, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding Episode 120.
Then the heroes form. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, cause they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, give me a report. Call April O'Neil in on this case, and you better hurry up, there's no time to wait. We need help right quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger, when Tonto came pronto, when there was danger. They didn't say we'd be there in half an hour, cause they displayed triple power. Was hot on the trail, determined to put these crooks in jail. She spied the bad guys and saw it happen, but before she knew it, she fell in a trap and got caught. Yeah, she was all alone, with no friends and no phone. Now this was beyond her worst dreams, cause she was cornered by some wayward teens. Headed by Shredder, they were anything but good. Misguided on love, they called them the foot. They could terrorize and be angry youth, and they'd mug the people who needed truth. Then from out of the dark came an awesome sight, shouting cowabunga as they hit the ground. From the field of weeds, the heroes rescued the flower, cause they possessed the powers. 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 is about. I got the enemy wishing that they stayed at home instead of fighting these ninja masters with moves like lightning. They were once normal, but now the mutants. Splinter's the teacher, so they are the students. Leonardo, Michelangelo, and Donatello make up the team with one other fellow, Raphael. He's the leader of the group, transformed from the norm by the nuclear goop. Pizza's the food that's sure to please. These ninjas are into pepperoni and cheese. Back to the story, it's not hard to find. Ninjas not just of the body, but of the mind. Those were the words that the master instructed. But a letter from Shredder had Splinter abducted. That was the last straw, spring into action. Step on the foot, now the gauntlet was traction. Now this is for real, so you fight for justice. Your shell is hard, so you shout, they can't dust us all. That's some old coffee table. Since you've been born, you've been willing and able to defeat the snake, protect the weak, fight for rights and your freedom to speak. Now the villain is chilling, so you make a stand. Back to the wall, put your sword in your hand. Remember the words of your teacher, your master. Evil moves fast, but good moves faster than light. Shining from your illumination, good versus evil equals confrontation. So when you're in trouble, don't give in and go sour. Try to rely on your triple power.